Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
Let's get our Bibles out because I'm not having a midlife crisis this morning. I want to talk to you about bearing good fruit in your life. And I don't know about where you... I want to recap actually a wee bit of last week because I realized I went pretty quick at something. But I said last week there is a binary. And if you're sitting struggling this morning to see all or you're, there's bits of your... Let's be honest, there's probably bits in all of us, isn't there, right? Where we go, I would love to see this fullness that we talk about. And that he talks about every week. I'd love to see more of that in my life. Anyone? Brilliant, okay. And so I said there's a binary that we get wrong in the word. And it's on a scale. It's, you know, it's like Jesus says, I'm a vine and you're a branch. And this is the God who made you, speaking to you, by the way. So he doesn't make mistakes in his words. And when you're listening to Jesus, as he gets towards the end of his earthly ministry and he's starting to talk to the disciples, he's giving them big clues as to how they're going to walk in the fullness of the words that he's spoken. And he's saying, you're not a vine, you're not a life supplier. There's no scale of vineness and branchness. I'm the vine, that's my job, and you're the branch. And I said last week, the issue is that we sometimes, in fact, not even sometimes, a lot of the time, we think we're the vine. So, okay, yes, Lord, you're the branch. I remember I had flashbacks. I grew up, I first came to sort of faith, if you like, properly encountering Jesus when I was about 10 or 11. And we were part of the Wimber. Remember Wimber? Helen, you'll remember that. Anyone else around that time in the late 80s? No? Oh, it's going back, isn't it? I mean, I was only three, I think, at that stage. And I used to sing this song, and I can remember it. You are the vine, we are the branches. Anyone? Keep us abide. Who knows that song? Or am I totally making it up? And we'll go in his love, like in his love. And... But it's really, you know, the Lord spoke to me about it to go, Andrew, you know, there are these truths that make no sense unless you're under grace. And people in the, they had some like, you're the vine, we're the branch. And, but what does that actually mean? And how do we stay connected so that we could see good fruit in our lives? And because the truth of it is that in the natural, these pictures that Jesus used of natural things so that we can see them with our own eyes, connect with them and then take that truth for ourselves. He does it for a reason. It's a bit like talking in parables. It's like we can look at this stuff and go, you know, remember I was saying about where faith comes from? You've probably forgotten this, but what does the Lord use to build faith in you? It's a gift of God. Yeah, we get that. So how does he help us? Okay? Faith is connected with what? With your imagination. And so that's why he says you'll be like a tree planted by a stream of water, because when he says that, what does your mind do? It creates the picture. You understand? And it's that ability to really creatively imagine what this word means. So that's why the Lord gives you pictures. So he says, think about those things. Look at them because it will help you to understand and translate the words that I'm speaking to you. And faith comes, it's primarily, it's a function of your imagination, the ability to creatively dream about what this word means. And when he says it, that's why he always gives us pictures, not because he just likes it. It's because that's how he does. Remember the first... I'm not, it's a different sermon, but that's where faith comes from, okay? The gift of God, then he illustrates it through these word pictures. And so what's interesting for you, you keep saying meno. Remember I said this, there's two distinct roles. The word abiding is just to stay. He says, stay, remain, don't shift out of being a vine or a branch, okay? So stay as a branch, don't shift, don't move. Now that's not about what you do physically necessarily, it's about your state of your heart and your state of your mind. Because once those things, that's why out of our hearts, our lives go. And that's why I say, can you stay cognizant, aware, with your heart set on Jesus as the life giver? Everything that you need right now, think about everything that you need. Everything that bothers you, everything that concerns you, everything that weighs you down, everything that you need, whether it's an issue of your heart, an issue in your body, an issue around you, everything right now, the answer is flowing through Jesus for you. Everything. Nothing. It's not like there's gaps. It's not like, well, you know, Lord, I kind of really trust you because there's this, so I need to do. Forget that. It's I stay in the place where my heart knows and my head knows and my posture is one before the Lord where it's like any life that I need, I will never produce it by myself because I'm just a branch. And do you know what I love about this? The Lord says, stay there. And it's not like stay there. It's like, for goodness sake, don't be crazy. Because if you step out of that, there's nothing you can do to produce fruit. Can you produce healing in your own body right now? Can you see issues of unforgiveness go in your heart right now? No, there's nothing in the flesh to change you. In fact, the flesh will make you worse. Right? That's why he says, just stop and keep plugged in, keep connected. And the other side of that is, well, I don't want to talk about it because it's probably could be quite negative, is when you don't see that fruit in people's lives, what happens is they will blame everything and everyone, but actually the Lord would say, it's because you're not connected to me. Just let me throw that one out, right? We can get very good at making everybody else the problem for why we don't see fruit in our lives. But actually the Lord would say, if you're connected to me, there will always be fruit. So I'm challenging you, encouraging you, and making you think to say, when the Lord says remain, it's because there's always going to be goodness coming out of it. Right? Do you get that? And it's not your circumstances, because the Lord's the Lord of the circumstances. He's over them. It's not because you're not good enough. I'm going to talk about that in a second. He just says, stay in that space. Because you're not the supplier of life or the fruit, you know? Do you know what I love about this? Your job in the Christian, you know what your job is this week? Bear fruit. Isn't that awesome? So I think about that and I thought, that means God wants me to be prosperous. You get that? Are any of you doubting that he wants you to be prosperous this week? He goes, no, I want you to bear fruit, Adam. I want you to be so fruitful that people look at you and they go, goodness sake, that boy's a moron. How has that happened in his life? Not you, Adam, me, all right? Because he's fit and good looking and wearing a jacket that I could only dream of fitting into. All right, amen, all right? But you know what I mean? It's like, you know, when the Lord says, I want you to bear fruit, I go, fantastic. That means you want me whole and healthy. The Lord says, I want you whole and healthy. Not just that it might be nice if you could just beg. I want that for you. I want you prospered. I want you peaceful. I want you healed from unforgiveness. I want you with hope in your heart. I want anxiousness and fear and worry out of your life. I want you so peaceful, so full of shalom, so full of completeness that the world will notice. All right? Now, here's the brilliant thing. You get to live in it and people get to see it. That's what it said in Psalm 80. Remember, I talked to you last week. This is what the Lord always said about Egypt or about Israel, that they would be a vine. He actually used the word, you know, you brought a vine out of Egypt, right? A thing of fruitfulness, a thing of life. And you drove out the nations and you planted it, Psalm 80, verse 8. But they actually failed to walk into that. So Jesus comes along in John 15 and he goes, you know the prophecy that there would be a place of fruit and life that you would connect into? And it was meant to be the nation of Israel. And we still believe to this day that Israel is a blessing to the nations, okay? But actually, Jesus then comes along and says, but I'm the true vine. Now, I'm the true vine. And if you connect with me, stay with me, then you're going to see life. So I'm trying to encourage you today at the outset to go, the lack of fruit is not a problem with God. It's actually not a problem with you, right? It's a problem of connection. It's a problem of being. Now, I'm going to talk next week about in order to enter into rest, okay, you first have to stop something. That's the way it works in the Bible. Do you know that? We say we talk about rest and we talk about I want to rest and the rest of God. But in order to have rest, according to the word of God, rest only comes after a finished work. It's really important. You don't walk into rest carrying everything that you normally do. You have to stop, cease, and then you enter into rest. I'm going to talk about that next week. Hopefully, if I don't forget and speak about something else. So let's look at John 15, because that could happen, because that's the way my mind works. I have about 15 sermons at any point. That's a cracker. But we'll stay on message, will we? So turn up John 15. Let's have a look at it. Are we all good? Turn around to somebody and say something nice. Tell your face. No, seriously. That's it. Awesome. So are you tired? That's better. Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? The Lord says, come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. Can I just say, I'm just going to throw this out. I have so much in my heart at the minute. This is John 15. Okay, this is in the message though. John 15, 1-5. It's John 15, 1-5. And that's where we're going to go in a minute. All right. Can I just say this one thing? See what it says here, come away with me and I'll show you how to take her. This is Matthew, sorry. It's not John 15. And I'm just making stuff up right now. But there's something that the Lord showed me about this during the week and I need to encourage some people. He says, get away with me, right? And you'll recover your life. That's really interesting. We think holiness and righteousness are not the same thing. This is going to help somebody because what do you think the opposite of, sometimes we think the opposite of sin is holiness, right? It's not. Holiness means to be set apart. So be set apart as I am. Be separate from. Righteousness and sin are opposite. Do you get that? Do you you get the gift of righteousness, and that lifts you out of sin. But actually, holiness just means to be set apart from. All right, so we need to be clear about some of these things at times. Somebody was talking to me this week, and I thought, this is where there's confusion in some people's hearts, because they go, well, I don't feel really holy. And, so, and actually, the Lord continually says, come away, and be separate from. Holy people, a holy nation, are ones who are called out of the world. We're not the same as the world. How are we called out? Through the gift of righteousness. You get the difference? All right, so actually, when you're struggling with sin, it's not that you're not holy. It's that you have to understand the gift of righteousness in your life. That's for free, right? We're going to come to that. So I'll show you, this is Matthew. Come on, and I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Bearing fruit is about freeness, freedom, and lightness, all right? Not about heaviness. No, I just need to bear fruit because I'm in trouble if I don't. It's about lightness. And that's what I said last week. So time after time after time, the Lord says, men know. Stay, remain where you are. The sense is, don't try to be a vine. You will never produce anything because I have placed you connected with me. And when you're connected, then you will bear fruit. So I'm going to challenge you, encourage you, speak to you every week to go, are you connecting? I'm going to help you next week with how to do that. In order to connect and rest, you first need to cease. And there's things in all of our lives where we just need to cease. We can't come to the Lord and say, I want rest, because he says rest comes after a finished work. So there's the work of Christ, and then there's some things that we just need to stop. Why? Because in order to stop, if we stop those things, then we enter into rest. Does that make sense? Ooh, it's good, that one, isn't it? So, and I then said very quickly, I'm going to just go on this. Actually, my whole talk is about the second half of this verse. In verse 2, every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away. It's just like killing some sacred cows here. Arrow, remember I said, what does it mean? When he takes it away, what does he actually do? He lifts up. Isn't that beautiful? He absolutely lifts you up so that when a vine is on the ground, when you're in the stuff, when you're in the dirt of the world, this is really important. So I'm going to show you some words of Jesus and they'll probably make sense to you for the first time. When you're in the dust being the stuff of the world, if that's where you're trying to feed from, if that's where you're putting yourself in, if that's where you're anchored to, then you never bear fruit. So what does the Lord do? He says, I'm going to take that away. It means I'm going to lift you up. And remember, I showed you the picture of them wrapping how a viticulturist, like that? There they go. It looks like a cross, right? And they basically wrap the branches around and the vine up the middle of the cross, and then they just wrap it around. And it's lifting it up, and so that it can bear good fruit, all right? And that's what we do. And I said last week that sin never stops grace from working. But what happens is that work stops grace from working. It says in Galatians 5, verse 4, you're severed from Christ. You who would what? Be sinful? No, you who would be justified by the law. You've fallen away from grace. You've fallen away from grace. In fact, I said, just to finish, long before anyone sins, right, they first fall from grace. You let that one sit. Long before anyone sins, they first fall from grace. See that in the Old Testament? Where they said at the foot of Mount Sinai, and they say to the Lord, anything you can do, anything you ask of us, we can do. These people have been led by the Lord, delivered by the Lord, held by the Lord. He was leading them to a place of fruitfulness, but what they miss it, and they go, you ask us anything, and we can do it, and the result is sin. So if you're trying to figure out why you keep sinning or why you keep going in that cycle, right? It's because you've actually, it's not because you don't have grace operating, it's because you're trying to do it yourself. So you fall from grace, get into works, and the result of that is sin, not the other way around. You get that? So that's why we go, I just need to rest. I need to know. I need to stay and remain simply connected. Is that good so far? It's good to remind ourselves, isn't it? So I just want to go on the second half of this verse because it struck me. So what do you actually need then? What are you going to need this week? And in 1 John 4:17, we love these verses, anyone who's around grace, because as he is, I think actually Adam even said this morning, as he is, so are we in this world. And everyone said, amen, the risen Christ, isn't this amazing? In all of his glory, all of his beauty, you know, as he is right now at the right hand of God himself, as Jesus sits there, so are we. Now, what does that mean? See all the faith that you need today, all the strength that you need, all the hope that you need, all the healing right that you need right now, as he is, so are you. That is spiritual truth. Whether you feel it, whether you dig it right now, or whether you can see it fitting into your world, does not matter one jot. He said it, so our response is, yes, that is true. Now, what's interesting, we have seen so many testimonies and heard so many testimonies of people even being healed in their bodies, where they just simply say to themselves or declare out loud, Jesus right now, okay, doesn't have cancer. He doesn't have a sore stomach. He is not anxious. So as he is right now, so am I. When the Lord says, as he is now seated at the right hand of the Father, at a place of rest, as he says, imagine that. Do you imagine Jesus kind of worried and anxious? No? So as he is, so am I. And the confession of, so as he is, so am I, releases that life in you. Amen. Not just as the world is, so am I. As my doctor says, so am I. As my friends, as my heart tells me. No, as he is, so am I this morning. And actually just picturing the Lord this morning in all of his glory. That's why we put our eyes on Jesus and we say, what is he like? He's perfectly calm today. He's perfectly whole. He's perfectly healthy. He's perfectly prospered. He's perfectly complete in every way. And I just simply say, thank you, Lord. If I stay in my lane, if I stay in my place, then as you are, so I will be. Why? Because I am connected to the source of life in himself. If I step out of that, it's not my sin takes me out of that. It's my desire to add into the work that he's already done. And then boom, I'm straight back on the ground. I'm trying to encourage you. Don't press for fruit. Don't strive for fruit. Remain and the fruit will come. That's a word for somebody today. You've been going around the court, going around the houses, going around the same mountains, going, God, here we go again. Grace, 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 grace. I'll declare, I mean, if you're a word of faith, you'll be going, I declare, I believe, hallelujah, blah, 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 blah. And then, boom, wet Tuesday. I'm going to be able to say a wet Tuesday in November again soon when the rain is lashing against your windies, right? And you look up and you go, Gordon Bennett, I'm not even sure I'm a Christian. Anybody? Amen. It's all nonsense. Beam me up, Scotty. Buddhism, I'll give that a wee rattle because they seem pretty chilled out. All right? There's a quote for the internet. What happened in that church? Oh, he turned into a Buddhist one Sunday morning. He had a midlife crisis. You could actually edit this whole thing together really well. Had a midlife crisis, turned into a Buddhist halfway through the sermon. Awesome. I love it. So in the first bit, he talks about he takes it away. He's all right. Is this too... Do you want me to be a bit more po-faced? Okay. Brothers, that's talk from the second half of this verse. So are you cut or cleansed? Cut or cleansed? This is absolutely lovely, this bit. Okay. In John 15, 3, he says this, every branch in me, right? Let me just read this through. Already you're clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Stay in me, remain in me, don't move from me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it stays, remains in the vine, neither can you, unless you stay and remain in me. I'm the vine, you're the branch. Whoever stays and remains in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Now just have a look at that. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Most of us, let me tell you something, I think, he didn't really mean that because I can do quite a lot of things. True or not? I hear that, but I can't do the big things like heal the cancers, deal with my unforgiven heart, but for most things, I'm pretty good, Lord. Yeah? He says, actually, without me, nothing. I love this. In the sense of not that you're poor and you're stupid and you're rubbish, but there's something about the life of God in us that we need to understand. We have nothing without Jesus, right? But with him, we're going to be able to do everything. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not stay and remain in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. I'm going to look at this verse here in verse 3 straight away. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So arrow, okay, we've talked about that, means to lift up. And every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Now, what do you hear when you hear prune? All right. Cut, isn't that right? What do you imagine? Cutting branches, right? We've got gardeners in this church. They know all about that. So when something is cut, what does it normally involve? Pain, chastisement. Isn't that right? Oh, this is more like it, Pastor. Now we're getting on to the real stuff. See all that namby-pamby grace stuff? What we need? We need some cutting in this church. That'd be awesome. Oh, I'm telling you now, the Lord's going to put all your thoughts onto this screen behind me. All your dirty thoughts you've had this week. What would the Lord say about them? He'll cut them out of you. This is just my world anyway. Affliction, pain, chastisement. That's what happens when with other plants. But this, we've got to set this in the context of Jesus. Does anyone know what the word here? It's not what the word for prune is. We hear cut. In Greek, it's katharo. Anyone heard the word cathartic? The root of that word, katharo, is the word that he actually uses. This is so brilliant when you read the Bible in the original language. Now watch how grace changes things around. Katharo here, when Jesus says, I will prune, it actually means I will wash you with water. Oh, come on, somebody give me an amen. He's not going to cut you, embarrass you, humiliate you, chastise you. He's not going to step into your world and cause you embarrassment. He's never going to do that. He is a loving Father who only ever acts for your blessing and for your goodness. He is not a God who humiliates. He's not a God who sets you your stuff out for all to see so that you become a public spectacle. In fact, it says in Colossians, he became a public spectacle for us. He triumphed over every principality and power by the power of the cross, taking all of our sin, all of our mess, all of our rebellion onto himself. And you will never, let me just say this, the enemy will try to condemn you by saying that if people really knew who you were, if people really saw what was in your heart, all that stuff, you stand here with your hands in the air all you want, but I know, and that's the accuser. Can I just say, when the Lord comes, he will never cut you. He will never do that. He will lift you up first and foremost to wrap you around the finished work of Jesus. And then he comes and pruning is, I will wash you with water so that you bear more fruit. Amen. Somebody's got to receive that word today because the enemy has been running rampant in your head. He's been running rings around you with a constant condemnation, the constant finger pointing, going, if you, the reason why you don't have fruit in your life is because of this, 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 and this. And the Lord says this morning, let me lift you up and let me show you Jesus. Let me show you that actually I am lifting you up so that I can wash you. Katharo. Now, let me keep going because it gets better. Okay, so it means, no, do you know what happens in those days, right? In those days, the leaves would get really dirty with insects and muck and dirt and stuff like that. Muck and dirt. And there was moss and all this sort of stuff. So these things would obstruct the ability of the leaf to receive the nutrients that it needed in order to bear fruit. So just think about this for 1 minute. If you were a farmer, you cultures will find this dead easy. This is where you live. But for those of us city slickers, we're going to have to work a bit harder right now, okay? But if farmers, what they don't do, right? Apparently, or viticulturists, people who do, they don't come along at a vine and go, it's a bit mucky, it's a wee bit dirty. I tell you what we'll do, let's burn the thing, you know? Let's like scorch earth, let's napalm our whole thing because that's what's going to make it better. Isn't it crazy that we would think that? What do we do even, like what about your kids when they walk in, you know, with dirty, oh, this one's dirty, get me a new one, do you know what I mean? Like Sophie's the dirt magnet in our house. You know, we literally have to tie her to a chair in the morning. Because in 30 seconds, she is covered in everything. Like, it's just dirt attracts her. Now, what I don't do is just go, seriously, me and you's done, okay? I'm cutting you down. I'm going to take you out, and I'm going to prune you. What do we do? Does that sound ridiculous as a father? You go, what kind of father? That's not a father. That's a beast. That's a complete monster. We have that idea of God, don't we? Oh, no, brother, I'm under grace. But actually, the truth of it is the reason why we don't see fruit is because we believe there's something wrong with us. There's nothing wrong with you. I'm going to show you in 1 minute. Absolutely nothing. So don't let the enemy accuse. When you are dirty, right, he washes you. He lifts you up and washes you. He does not embarrass, humiliate, point the finger at you, or ever set you up for pain, hurt, and chastisement. That's the gospel of grace. He's a good father. A really good father. In fact, what would happen is in verse 3, actually, do you know how we can see this confirmed? Those of you who are doubting, those of you unbelievers in the house, in verse 3, Jesus says this, already you're clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Now think about the order, have a look at the word, try to take out some of that religious nonsense that we were all brought up with, because before he talks about lifting up and pruning, right? He says, already you are clean. Do you get it? Why? If you are already clean, right? If you're already fine, already perfect, already received the gift of righteousness, why would he have to cut you to pieces? It doesn't make sense. So he actually says, can we just start with the right view of this? Already I have made you clean. How? By the word that I have spoken over you. When the Bible says that his word is life and health, that's exactly what it means. When you receive the word of God, all right, it cleanses you. It changes you. It heals you physically in your body. His words are life and health. And how does the Lord encourage you every time? The genie that encouraged me says, I have already made you clean because I spoke it over you. Now, he's not a liar, right? The Lord's not a liar. When he says it, it's done. His covenant will never be broken. And he said, I spoke it over you. And there's neither demon nor angel above the earth, underneath the earth. No power of hell or man, this sounds like a worship song, can ever separate us and pluck us from his hand. Why? Because he said so. In Christ alone. Okay? Great song. Isn't that right? Sorry, I just went straight into the third verse of In Christ alone. But such unbelievable words. He doesn't cut you, he washes you. Let me show you what Jesus said. Clean, the katharos, what it actually means is this. Katharo is the word that he used. The root is katharos. It means to be clean. Write this down. Pure, unsoiled. To be ceremonially and morally clean. Oh, no, this is good. So every bit of the law that made you dirty, when he lifts you up, to wash you down, every demand of the law, every bit of ceremonial law, every bit of moral law, you have been absolutely made clean, pure, and in the sight of God this morning, you are unsoiled. That's a great word, isn't it? And when we believe that and receive that, you know what? We can start to bear fruit. Unsoiled is not such a good word. So never, ever, ever think. I'll tell you what, do you know what happens? You know what cutting looks like for most of us? Cutting looks like, I don't believe that the Lord would step into my life and cause me to have a car crash to teach me a lesson. Okay, most of us would go, yeah, that's not God, right? But what it does look like at times is in the quiet moments, in the reflections, in the things that we do, we sit and we go, there's something wrong with me and that's why this isn't working. Anyone? Right? You're probably going, Andrew, there is something wrong with you. And that's what, but do you get me? There's still that thing. There's still this. There's still that. Actually, this is about me. And that's where the Lord said that's where you fell from grace. Don't put you there. You're full from grace. Don't. Get back connected. That's a cool word, isn't it? Let me just go on very quickly. Is this okay? Has anyone learned anything this morning? You're already, let me just say this. Let me go back to the words of Jesus there, if you wouldn't mind, in verse 3. Already you are clean, pure, unsoiled, ceremonially and morally perfect. Every demand of the law has been met over your life. Why? Because of the word that I spoke to you. Amen. I love it. I absolutely love that. I love that sense of actually going, Lord, you know what? Now, if you ain't the problem, and actually I ain't the problem is just that I need to connect with you. I need to make sure I am in that heart and head space where I'm able to receive grace upon grace. So it's so funny, isn't it? Like even, you know, because we grew up in a country where like, before you come to Jesus, before you encounter him, you're a sinner. Then after you meet Jesus, you're a sinner. Isn't it awesome? It's like, what would be the point of meeting him? Oh, well, you get to come to church and knock yourself sideways and be made to feel really guilty about things you probably never even thought about before. Awesome. Sign me up for that. That sounds like such a good deal. Do you know what I mean? Brilliant. Okay. Yeah, I think I could die. Too good to be true, huh? That's really not great news, is it? Yeah, you could be just as miserable as we are, you know? You can face all the things of life, but with the added big dollop of condemnation that no matter what you do, you'll always be slightly rubbish. Amen. Thank you very much. I think I'll take a pass on that. I mean, it kind of sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? You know, it's like, what kind of gospel is that? You need to be half bonkers to sign up. You know, I'd be like, seriously, that's not good news. There's not this big cosmic battle of, you know, it's like, come, right? Come. You'll be unsoiled, not dirty, right? And in fact, everything that you long for and desire for comes as a result of just being connected to the one who gave it all for you. He doesn't demand from you. He's not going to embarrass you. He's not going to humiliate you. He's not going to tell you to try harder. He's going to say, stay in me. And every bit of life you need will flow. Now, that's a different deal, isn't it? That's a different deal. Very quickly, let me just, my favorite book in the whole world is the Book of Romans, as some of you will know, as well as Joshua. I'm just going to go very quickly. Romans 3, 20, 22. Let me just say this. How does the word wash you? And this thing of being washed by the word, katharo. In Romans 3, 22, it says this, by the works of the law, right? When you say by the works of the law, can you just slow down? Don't go too theological for me. Just go, right, by my effort, by my self-will, by my trying harder. Does that make sense? To please God and therefore to receive from him. If you just kind of have that in your head, this will make way more sense. You'll never be justified in his sight. Since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. The righteousness of God, I'm going to explain some of these words right now, through faith, so that means God's gift, which I have to believe for and be convinced of, has been manifested, has been shown, and it's apart from, the two things are separate. So you have the gift of righteousness, and then you have self-effort, self-promotion, and carrying the weights and the burdens, which makes you tired, gets you burned out on religion and people and everything else. And he says, but those things are apart, right? The fruit is on the righteousness side. The fruit is on the life side. It's not on the law side, right? The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For what? For all who work harder, try harder? No, for all who believe. Amen. So the righteousness of God has been revealed independently and altogether apart from the law. I've said this word many times. Some of you might not have heard it, though. Diakosune, let me just explain it. What does righteous mean? Okay, righteous is different from holiness, remember? Holiness called apart, set apart. Righteousness, the gift of God, which is the opposite of our sin. And it simply means this. Now, I always say it's about your condition being completely acceptable to God. But there's actually a second bit of it. It means that you are approved right in his eyes after examination. Some of us hide from God at times in our hearts. And we go, I can't show you that. Or I'll work harder because I actually can't just show you everything. It's kind of ridiculous, right? Because God knows every hair in your head. He knows what goes on. But what we do is there's something on the inside of us sometimes turns. And we don't kind of face God in all of our glory and go, this is it, love. You really love me like this. But you know what the Lord does? Righteousness is not like he's oblivious to or whatever. Or he kind of like, you know, sometimes their own kids, what we do is we kind of ignore stuff. Anyone? Does that just make me a really bad parent? Yeah. But there's times you just go, I'm not picking that battle because it's just kids. So I'll just choose to ignore it and look over it. The Lord doesn't do that, actually. The Lord's fully aware, fully present, and fully knows everything that was wrong with us before. And so what he says is righteousness is actually after examination. And the word is like a good thorough examination. You know what I mean? I don't want to go too far into that one. But it's like every bit of you inside and out, he has looked at, examined. And what he says is after really close examination. Now, I know if I had a really close forensic examination of what I was like, it probably wouldn't be pretty in my own view. Anybody? Yeah, okay. But he looks at me and he looks at you, and after close examination, like we would say getting the drains up, really getting the drains up, he goes, unsoiled, clean, pure, totally acceptable to me. Isn't that cool? That's the word washing you, all right? Because where do we get dirty? I'm going to show you in 1 second, the bits where we touch everything else. We touch the world. We touch people. We touch our own sin and all sorts of stuff. And that gets dirty. So we need to come back to the word and let it wash us down. So my confession this week, sitting in this church while all of you probably were sleeping, at times was just simply confessing, nothing else. God, I'm really righteous. You've examined me after yesterday and today. I've got up and you said, unsoiled, never changed. Never changed. You know, and the Lord encouraged me this week, it never changed in my view. Never changed in my sight. You're completely unsoiled and pure. And you know what? you're so acceptable to me. Really? Connected. Connected. Now, it's interesting, he said that in verse 24, all are justified. This is Romans, so it's the next verse. It says, all are justified, made upright, and in right standing with God freely and gratuitously. By what? By his grace, his unmerited favor. Through the redemption, this word redemption, which is provided in Christ Jesus, apolytrosios. This is brilliant. So do you want to know what the, know these big Christian words, redemption? Does anyone actually know what it means? Oh, it means to buy back. Right, let me just explain it perfectly for you. It means to buy back, repurchase that which was previously lost, right? Actually, in the sense of the word, it puts a big emphasis on the distance or the safety margin between the person and what previously enslaved them, okay? So when Jesus says he buys you back, you're not still in the mess. He puts a big, massive distance between who you were and what you did and who you are now, right? And he said, never will that come back to you because I see you now as totally acceptable. Not with a wee bit of this, not with a wee bit of that, not with this rearing its head every now and again. My only view after examining you is perfect and complete for me. Now stay there, and the fruit that you need to walk out everything that you long for will come. I have to say, keep staying, keep remaining. Does that make sense? If some of you are struggling and have been struggling to see that fruit, hopefully the Lord's speaking to you this morning to go, okay, this is how the word washes me. It's so very simple. How does Jesus cleanse you? Not just physically, but also from bitterness, jealousy, fear, unforgiveness, hatred, impatience, by the washing of his word. I'm just going to show you this one thing. This is why our church really matters. You know, get that? Many times when I'm having my midlife crises, I go, but I could not sit under any other word. There's no other word. Only the word of grace lifts me up to bear fruit. There's no other gospel. There's no other gospel. Now, let me just finish this, but finish today by saying this, that there's one bit in the upper room in John 13, just before here, we see Jesus washing the disciples' feet. That's really interesting. Because we're going to see in Peter, you know how Peter was always a wee bit crazy, right? Lopping off the ears and I'm going to follow you apart from straight away after that when I'll deny you and all that sort of stuff. There's a bit in John 13 before Jesus is talking about this where they're in the upper room. This is the context. And in John 13, what happens is Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. Now, I love this. I used to have nightmares about this because I have, has anyone been in a good charismatic meeting where the Lord speaks to somebody about washing everyone else's feet? Like, what a complete nightmare. You know, so I just feel the Lord saying, and they come in with a, you know, and you're like, seriously, you didn't hear the Lord, you're just crazy. And you get people like, you, anyone been in that place? God bless them. I'm sure they thought it was the Lord. It was probably just indigestion or something. All right. Oh, well, Jesus did it, so I'm going to wash feet. Okay. Do you want to have a look at what Jesus was actually doing there? Would that help? Because it helped me to go, you haven't heard the Lord, you're just crazy. You know, you didn't hear the Lord about giving all your possessions away, did you? Not just washing feet. And honestly, there's just, I don't like feet. That's just number one. So I would have a reaction anyway. I mean, I could wash probably, anyway, just don't wash feet, all right? I just don't like them. And we've just gone a wee bit crazy with this, but I love this. But there's something beautiful about what Jesus is showing. Now remember, you have to see just what Jesus does and what the layer is underneath. Because if you take John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 on their own, you miss the whole big meta narrative of what he's trying to do. He's trying to show you how you're going to bear fruit, and washing feet was part of it. So this is really interesting. Jesus said, so what's happening? He's washing the feet, and then Peter being full of, yo, he says, Lord, just don't wash my feet, wash all of me, all right? I want to be washed all over. It's that kind of almost puppy-like enthusiasm we see in Peter, where he's just like, oh, you know, if you're going to go the whole hog, I mean, wash me as white as snow, you know, more Wimmer songs. And to wash me as white as snow, if you're going to, just don't do my feet, do everything. And the Lord says something really interesting. Now, listen really carefully. The one, then Jesus turns to him and goes, Peter, right? The one who is bathed, right? The word he uses, louo, literally and metaphorically, there's two uses to this word. It means a complete bathing to cleanse the entire person. So you don't need to be washed if your entire person has been cleansed, except for your feet. This is interesting, right? But he's completely clean and you're clean. This is what the Lord says. Jesus said to him, the one who is bathed, right? Except for his feet, you're completely clean, right? You can go and read it in John 13. So remember what I said about katharos? It's the same word that Jesus used here, either literally, ceremonially, or spiritually, guiltless, innocent, and upright. So what happens is Jesus uses this word, you only have to wash your feet, right? The word is nipto, N-I-P-T-O. It's really good. And this is to ceremonially wash your feet or hands. Why? Because that's the bit of you that stands and is connected to the world around you. So he says, actually what you need to do as you go through, because remember, when the branch hits the ground and gets into the dirt, right? It doesn't bear fruit. It gets mucky and dirty and insects come and it needs. So what he says is, I will wash the bits of you. This is like the real life of it, right? With my word, the bits of you that are connecting and touching with this world every day, but it doesn't change the fact that you are completely clean already. Isn't that cool? I love that. There's bits of me at times in interactions and in things where I just feel, yeah, yuck. Anyone? Almost like, yeah. You know, I'm just like, All right? So what Jesus is modeling out here is not that we all have to take our shoes off. Thank you, Jesus. And wash each other. So if anyone ever says that again, just go, can I actually just tell you what the Lord's saying? You crazy person. You know, you're equipped now with the word. Amen. But what he was showing them is, and he says it the same here, doesn't he? He says, the one who's bathed completely, if I have made you completely guiltless and I have cleansed you from, you know, from all unrighteousness, the only bit where the word comes to wash you is the bit of you every day that's banging off this word, where you stand and what you touch. But my word will cleanse you. I know for me, it's like, you know, the old saying of, you know, you have to shower every day because, you know, we recommend it. You know, it's like, you know, I had a shower in 1985 and I need another one. You know, you'd be stinking, right? So we understand in the natural, actually, that, you know, where do we wash most every day? Our hands, don't we? Because it's continually touching the things of the world. And he just says, my word will cleanse you. So let me show you what I do every day as I lift you up and I wrap you around the finished work of Christ. And my word washes you. It's the bits of you where you just feel, ugh. So I have conversations with the Lord all the time where I go, see that conversation? I'm angry, I'm this, I'm that. Okay, let your word wash me there. But it never changes in one bit the fact that who I am before Christ is completely, completely clean. But there's bits of me sometimes I just need the word to come to help me. When I'm angry, when I'm frustrated, the Lord says, let me just wash your feet. That's the bit where you touched the ground there. Does that make sense? What we do is we think, I feel dirty there. I'm just a complete mess. He goes, no, just let me wash that bit for you because the rest of you is good. Isn't that awesome? That's the word of grace for you today. No more living under the lie that you are, there's something wrong with you and that's why you're not seeing fruit in your life. That's a lie. Absolutely 100% a lie. Sin never stops his unmerited favor. Never. Because where there is sin, the word tells us his grace super abounds. But where there's no fruit, it's because we're carrying, we're not connected. Connected in the sense of, you know, allowing him to flow in us, stopping and resting. Because the law says your sin separates you. The Lord says your work stops my life from flowing. So why don't you just rest a while with me? Isn't that a great word, right? So he doesn't cut you, prune you, chastise you. He lifts you up to wash you with his word. Last thing I'm going to say is some of you are washing. This is where we need to enter into rest. Some of us need to cease. I'm going to talk about this next week. Because we are washing ourselves with dirty face cloths all over the place. What a silly analogy right there, right? All right. We're rubbing ourselves down with wet flannels that have been, you know, it's just whatever your analogy, social media, television, other people's opinions, my opinion, my heart, what I think, right? Right? You want to end into rest, that's got to stop. Where do you find the power for that to stop? You connect with the Lord and you receive grace upon grace, right? But don't carry both of those in because there's no rest then. Think about Sabbath, actually. Sabbath always started with ceasing, right? Then resting, then feasting and celebrating. But in order to rest, you have to stop. That's what the word, I remember the word I said to you last week? you only enter into rest when a finished work has been completed. So I want you to think about that this week, because your connection won't come. Some of us need to prioritize our connection with the Lord. Some of us need to make space to connect with the Lord. So, and to do nothing other. Can I just tell you, this is where your trust comes in the word. Lord, today I'm righteous. I'm unsoiled. You look at me, you examine me, and you just see Jesus in me. So because of that, I declare that I'm going to bear good fruit today. I'm just going to put my hand on things. It's going to work, right? I'm going to see doors open that have been shut in my face. I'm going to walk into new levels of peace in my heart. Why? Because I'm connected with you. Amen. Let his word wash you this week. The other thing is water being washed is the Holy Spirit, okay? Remember? Just let me say this because I've kind of forgotten to say it because I went off on one in the middle of my talk. The water is always a picture of the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do? Doesn't bring glory to himself, but he brings glory to Jesus. So anything that is the Holy Spirit and a ministry of the Holy Spirit and you're left looking at the people and what's going on, actually the Holy Spirit always glorifies Jesus. So when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, when you're baptized and receive the Holy Spirit every day, when you're working with him, what he will do is he will lift Jesus up to you and he will point you to Jesus. That's the picture of the water. Amen. Peace.